I want to complete this Passover with a title that kind of says it, God's War, God's Battle. I always like to at least cover one topic here at Passover of what the Lord's Day is going to be like so that we can get a little insight into it, because our Father gave us a lot of information as to what would be going on there on the Lord's Day. So I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. I want you to go to that 14th chapter, which is the final, the chapter that will give you the whole end time in one chapter, one book in the Minor Prophets, Zechariah. Let's take a little look at the Lord's Day to see what's transpiring there, because God, as we well know, always gives us a type that we can judge ourselves in looking at current events and so forth to understand what is happening. What in the world is happening? Well, you can see. It's that simple. So, in the book of Zechariah, verse 1, chapter 14, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." You can count on it, friend. Okay? It's coming. "And the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." In the Hebrew, this is given in the feminine, and we're speaking to Jerusalem. Think about Jerusalem for a moment in your mind, all right? Verse 2, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." He didn't say maybe. He's going to do it. "And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." What do you see in Jerusalem today? What happened in the year 1948? Was half of the city taken, approximately, but not the old half? And it's more than divided. You have three factions: Muslim, Christian, and Jew, that consider that place to be pretty holy for, and basically kind of for the same reason in a lot of ways. So we see that division, and we see that half. What about the women being ravished? They're going to be spoiled because, and we will speak for Christians only in this, because the Christians are supposed to be basically purified and ready for the day of the wedding. And when the prince of the power of the air appears, they're going to be ravished, all right. They're sure not going to be virgins spiritually anymore. And they're going to think they're doing exactly what they're supposed to and what they have been taught to do. So you don't have to use your imagination too much to understand that prophecy, to clearly understand it, because it's already begun. It's happening before your very eyes. Now, verse 3. Then, what does that mean? This is what happens next. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, let me see. If we were intelligent people, we would say, well, now, if we knew how the Lord fought in the day of battle, we would know then and be privy to the information of how he's going to fight for us on the day of the Lord. Because he's already declared then. So you know exactly, your Father's telling you how it's going to be, how he's going to consummate the end of this age and bring you to that day. Isn't that good of him? It sure is. Now all we have to figure out is what did God do in the day of battle? And really that's very simple, because he's referring to the day of battle that our people had been in captivity for 400 years, and they didn't really lift a hand. Now hear me. They didn't really lift a hand. Moses lifted a staff. God did it all for them. He fought. And it just seems like we're stuck with Exodus. Now, are we going somewhere or what here? I don't know. Maybe we are. We're going to go to Exodus, if you will. Back in the beginning, we're going to go find out how God fought, what He fought about, how He did it. Because He said, I'm going to do it just that way. And then perhaps you'll have a little better idea of how He's going to protect you. You all know the story. We've been over it many, many times. And I'm basically going to pick up. This is not going to be all that long, unless I really get carried away up here. Because this is a subject you need to know for now. It's important to you. So watch carefully. How did God fight on that day that the battle was fought? Because that's exactly how it's going to be before your very eyes. Let's go with chapter 14, make it. I really want to start at 14, but because you're still turning there, because I did not give you the chapter, I'm going to read verse 13 while you're getting there. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Forever being the type. All right? Verse 14. The Lord, listen up, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. It's going to be the same way. How good are you at holding your peace? Or do you have peace? It's a requirement. It is a requirement. In other words, God did it then, and He's going to do it again. All you have to do is let Him use you. He's quite capable. He's going to do it just this way. 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, the people were clamoring just a little bit. Moses was beginning to say, Lord, they won't behave. Those people are nuts. They're turning into a bunch of squirrels, Father. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Tell them to move out. Do what I've told them to do. He doesn't like pew potatoes, brother, okay? God does not like pew potatoes. 16. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now think for a moment. Spiritually, and it's going to be just like this. Spiritually, in the book of Revelation, what is the sea? Go ahead, tell me. Tell me again. People, of course. Revelation 17 documents that we're talking about people. God parts the people for us. He's already done it. And we're cutting a path through the airways and through the cities and through the towns and through Christians and through other peoples. And we're making headway. Who's doing it? God is doing it. Just like He did in the day of the battle. You're beginning to make a difference. One is putting 1,000 to flight. Why? No one else has any answers, basically. Unless you just want a little sweet milk, baby toast, Christian milk for little babies that are not even potty trained yet. You know, really. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. And I'm not shaming them. I'm just saying that's fact. All right? That's the way it is, honey. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. So, He divides the people. He does, not we. And when God's ready to do something, it gets done because He is doing the fighting. And this is the way He's going to fight this time. Verse 17. And I, boy, that's a big I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all of his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. There you have the purpose. Do you know something? God's not interested in showing people what a big person you are. By that I mean, God doesn't really care about honoring you all that much in that sense. He wants those non-believers to honor Him because in so doing, when they see He is God, maybe they'll save their souls because they're His children and He cares. That's why He seeks to find honor even among those that are biblically illiterate today, that they can see. Not a bunch of traditions, but that He is God and He will do it His way. 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. That's the reason. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. I want you to understand what the situation, the logistics of this are. We got women, children, the elderly parked here. There's no men of war, basically, trained troops with them. And back here, we've got Pharaoh with a bunch of his personal staff, warriors, and thousands of troops, armed, trained soldiers that can shed blood in a big way. They don't have any protection. That's why God moved between. He's going to do it again. He already has. And there is no excuse for any Christian having fear in their heart if you understand the Word of God. Now let's get a little perspective on what this looked like in the eyes of the Egyptians. And that doesn't apply. He's not going to be with the Egyptians today. It's the world that is not familiar with Him. What it looks from their angle and what it should look. I said, should look from your angle. Let's check you out. Okay? 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. I mean, it was a raging storm. It was a tornado. It was destruction. It was dangerous. To them, to God's children. But it gave light by day to these, that's to say God's children, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What did God do? He's going to do it again. He protected His children. They didn't do a thing other than believe to be there, to set an example for you today. Because this is how God will fight on that day and the days leading up to it. To your enemies, God is a dark cloud and you should tremor and shake because He might throw you into hell. I mean, He's hungry and He's wanting to zap somebody. That's the way He looks to them. And you know it. Some mother tells some little child, honey, you better be careful or you're going to hell. Devil's going to get you and you're going to burn like a piece of bacon. Good Christian talk, you know. Devil will get you. It's really God that's behind that cloud. But on your side, he should be light, for Christ is the light. And he's going. I didn't say maybe. I didn't say perhaps. He's going to protect you. If, that old big word again, if you believe on him, you believe his word, the voice, the trumpet that warns you, it's coming. And you're prepared. If you're not prepared, sorry, you might get a little frightened before this is over, but you have absolutely no reason to be. He's going to fight it exactly. Not my words, his. So, you should be seeing that light. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Think people. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Ruach in the Hebrew tongue. Spirit. All that night. And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Do you know something? What does that say to you? You got any military training at all? Anytime you can divide a force and get it fighting among itself, you got no problem. You got the victory. You got it sewed up. And God will divide the people that would have anything whatsoever to have to come against you. Why? How can I be so sure? It's easy. A child can understand. It's going to be just like it was in this day, on the day now approaching. Exactly. If you look at him and you see the light, the peace, the safety, the protection, or do you see a dark storm? I don't know. You can only answer that. You should be seeing light. He's going to do it all. You don't have anything to do other than to believe and understand his plan, whereby you feel comfortable within that, that you can function. And if he says, I need somebody, you can say, here, Lord, use me. Can you do that? If you're not afraid, hey, they can't hurt you. He's standing between you and them. Who wouldn't be a brave soldier at a time like that? I've had to soldier when it wasn't quite that simple. You know? Really wasn't. Sometimes we were all scared to death. There were no brave men. Well, bravery doesn't have anything to do with fear. Sometimes fear causes people to be brave. But this is, let me tell you something as an old combat veteran, this is a cinch. You got it made, friend. Anybody can be a hero, be a champion with a setup like this. Boy, does your father love you. Talk about spoiling a bunch of people. Tell them, hey, you don't have to sweat. I'm going to take care of it for you if you believe. Friend, that is exactly how it's going to be. And it's not going to be that far away. 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, unto the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. They weren't touched by the people. Not even touched in the prophetic sense. 23, and the Egyptians perished, pursued rather. They're going to in a minute. I'm just getting anxious. And went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, that being God himself, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. I just love God's sense of humor. Can you see this? Here are these Egyptians beating their breasts. Let us get at them as soon as this storm clears. And God says, I wonder what that old boy will do if I just throw a little lightning bolt right down there beside him. Whoom! You know. Look at him. I mean, I love it. I do. You know, He protects us and He's going to have all the fun at the same time, okay? Shaking people up a little bit. So, don't you wish you would have read where you knew what was going on? Boom! Yeah. Not destroying them, just scaring the you-know-what out of them, okay? I mean, it's going to be a good time, my friend. Nothing to be afraid of. God is in control. I love it. I really do. Let's see. I'm trying to find my place, okay? 24. I'll just start at 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch... Oh, we got that one. Okay. 25. And took off their chariot wheels. Now, that's a joke. Can you imagine? He took the wheels off their chariots. I mean, he's having a ball here, see? That they drave them heavily. I'll bet they did, dragging in that mud. You know, you old chariot drivers know how that is. Okay? So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. It's obvious He's against us. Now, they're beginning to honor Him here, see. Because they're admitting He's real. Not this frog god that old Pharaoh's been kneeling before. But we're talking about our God. This man is serious. He's going to kill us. He's messed up our wagons. And we're out of here. Okay. They're beginning to honor Him, okay? 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea. Do you see how He uses old Moses? Doesn't ask much of him, and He's not asking much of you. So just stretch out your hand over the people, the sea. And that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. So He's going to let old Moses have a little bit of the fun, okay? Or at least think he has. God's still doing it. 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled across it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. What a clamor that's going to be among the peoples of the world when it all closes in on them. But note, God has already got you out of the way. Okay? Going to do it just this way. This is the way it's going to happen. And it's not too far off. You're going to be out of the way. But when the people run together, gnashing of teeth, recognizing, hey, this guy we've been worshiping is letting this happen to us. He must not be God. He must not be the Savior. Alarm clocks start going off. People begin to wake up. Shame begins to rest on the people. 28, and the waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remaineth not so much as one of them. Your father, by this, is saying, I am totally, completely in control of the enemy. Tell me, friend, do you have bad dreams at night for fear? Wonder if God can protect me. I don't think He would like that. Not when He gave you this example of how you have absolutely nothing to fear other than fear itself, the fear of the unknown, and there's no excuse for you not knowing because He has told you. 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Let me tell you something. There's a wall around most people today. They don't even know it. But as sure as God has touched your forehead and you've put a little elbow grease, mind, action into it, and have placed the seal of God in your forehead, which simply means studied His Word. The deception is 6,000 feet deep. It's like the flood of Noah, the deception upon this world. And you walk through it and it doesn't even faze you. That wall of deception cannot impregnate your mind, because nobody's going to deceive you. Nobody's going to fool you. And God protects you. Why else do you think God would say to Satan, "Hey, I'm going to give you a 5-month period to really shake people up before I pull a little Pharaoh job on you. But you can't touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead, that have got a little living sense." That's what he's saying. "Satan, you're so stupid, you can't handle my servants are wiser than you are. They're going to put you on the run, buddy. But you go ahead and have a ball with the rest of them." And he's going to. But see, that wall is around you today. That deception cannot enter your home, your family, your personal life, but most of all, you're answerable for, number one, yourself. You're not going to be deceived. Period. Because you have God's roadmap to success. And let me tell you something, good things never end. Bad things do. And we have the victory. Well, let's get on with the plan here. 30. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." You seen any spiritual dead bodies laying around lately? You ever walk down a main street and look at the dead spiritual bodies? They don't know. Come hear from Sikkim about God's Word. And yet, they are so steeped in high technology that they can tell you all about ROMs, ohms, and bits, bytes, the network, modern day. I mean, they really got it. But they don't know a thing about God's Word, unfortunately, and they are spiritually dead. The bodies are stacking up. And it's as it was in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. What did God say for Ezekiel to do to those spiritually dead, dry bones? He said, "Preach to them. Prophesy to them. Tell them what my prophets have said." And boy, they began to stir around, and bone came unto bone, and life to life. And pretty soon the place was shaken, and people began to see the truth. It's part of your job, is to shake them up a little bit wisely. Do it wisely. Protect your credibility. You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. You know, the number one, this may be the wrong place to do this, but I'm going to do it. The number one place that most people, when they gain knowledge, their number one mistake is they want to show everybody how much they know. And let me cut you in on a little clue. People don't care how much you know. You can't, do you understand? You can't look at it or approach it from that angle. You got to go where they are and bring them up to you, or they're not going to like you. They're not going to appreciate you. So get self out of it and humble yourself a little bit and think of God's Word. And when you're broadcasting those seed, don't try to bring self into it of how much you know. You know, I'll never forget, used to, when I would stay at, when it first hit me and I, in my studies in school, I saw it. I couldn't sleep at night except for a couple hours. And I crammed and I crammed. And the first poor sucker I found, I dumped it all right on him. Ooh, boy, look at that. It scared him to death. He thought I was a nut. Okay? See, so be patient. It doesn't matter how much you know. Don't try to show people how much you know. Be gentle and teach His Word, because I want to tell you the secret. True wisdom is to simplify God's Word whereby anyone can understand it. How do I know that? Because that's how God did it. And He's the wisest thing there is. He simplifies it, just like this battle. He said, hey, you know how it's going to be on the Lord's Day? Just like it was back the day I fought for you. All you got to do is go back there and read it and look at it. It's that simple. Child can understand it. See? That's the way He teaches. I don't know if anybody needed that or not, but there it is. Okay? Now, 31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and that's revered, properly translated, revered the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Not only did they believe Him, but a lot of the Egyptians no doubt decided, hey, let's go down here and push this frog. Let's push this frog god back in the pond where he belongs, and let's have another look at this one. You know, had to. Now, beloved, as we're coming up to close to the close, what is the next chapter? You see, I've instructed all of you to learn a song, and that song is the song of Moses, because you're told in Revelation 15. That the song of Moses is what the voices will be singing that overcome the false Messiah, the mark of the beast, all of Satan's plots. If you know the song of Moses, you got the victory. Well, Moses' song has an appendix. And just so that you know that we know what we're talking about in bringing this battle, the day of the battle, up to present day, let's get into three verses in the next chapter. And then I'm going to make a home assignment of the rest of the chapter to you over the next week. And I don't know, I might even throw a pop test on television. Who knows? I won't. Dennis is the one that does that. I love you too much for, you know, to embarrass you or something like that. Everybody made good grades, basically. All right? I guess every teacher would be proud of that, okay? Chapter 15, listen carefully. Then sang, I repeat, sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, Moses' song, all right? Unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed like a big trumpet, gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Who did it? God did it. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Friend, can you spare a little room in your heart to make a habitation for Him? You see, the kingdom is within those that know and that understand. Can you? That's part of the song, and it's an appendix to the song of Moses that you're supposed to know, because it has to do with the end times. Can you make Him a habitation in your home? Do it. Doesn't mean, hey, if you think I'm trying to say be a saint, I'm not that foolish, all right? I know none of us are saints, all right? We're not perfect. But He can handle that. He can stand it. If he could stand Paul, He can stand most anybody, you know, and a few of the others. They weren't exactly perfect, but they tried hard. Boy, they were zealous, and they weren't afraid to stand up and say, God is perfect. I may not be, but God is. All right? Can you spare a little room in your heart to let His love come into you? A love that says, hey, I'll take care of you. And it was answered in that verse, because I'm your Father. But there you have that song. He is your Father. Don't ever let someone push you off a bill of goods that says, God is some force out in space. No. You're made in His image. He looks like you do. And He has feelings, emotions. He has a sense of humor. And He's full of love. Can you use somebody like that in your home? I hope so. Because that would make you one of God's chosen that have the intelligence and the love and the trust for Him to know it doesn't matter what the Kenites do. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. We're not going after any snake's tails. I mean, stomping some little tentacle that Satan sets out there to destroy our credibility, we're going for the head. Because that's what your Father wants you to do. This is the Song of Moses, the appendix. This is the song of victory that the overcomers will be singing. And it won't be that long. One more verse. 3. The Lord is a man of war. Yahweh, I speak in the Hebrew, is His name. Iya Asha Iya. I am that I am. Hey, our Father can cut it. He's a can-do type Father. And we don't have anything to worry about. Let me tell you something. There are no giants out there as far as we're concerned. We kind of do the real giant's work, our Father. So don't ever get spooky. Not when God has given you promises like this. That makes it so easy to be a can-do type Christian. Not somebody that just said, yeah, I be Christian. I believe. Believe what? You believe all the Word? I've never read it. Sad. We can chuckle and smile about it, but isn't it sad? You could just almost cry because of it. You know that people, our Father has been so good in bringing forth such an earth as this, and with such love. And their little bees are too, little ants, grasshoppers are too busy. Just too busy for Him. What was that third verse? The Lord is a man of war. This is the Lord's war. And He will fight it. And you that sing the song of Moses, be aware of it. You really are fortunate. Because you have a wall around you and they can't touch you. As long as you use common sense. Let's return, if we may, to Zechariah chapter 14. 3 more verses and we're through with this lecture. If you ever want to know and understand, and please read it with understanding, this 14th chapter gives you the whole end time. You know, verse 4. This is after God. Well, let's read verse 3 again, just to where He said, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. Just like that. 4. And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's where Christ ascended, and that's where He's going to descend. And when His feet hit, boy, is there going to be a war. Not at you, but at our enemy, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. The valley of Kedron is going to have a new valley, but it's going to be a nice highway. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And I'm pretty well going to stop there, except I'm going to go down to verse 7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. Why? The light will be with us. listen carefully, verse 8, to complete. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Living waters. Half of them toward the former sea, it's the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, the Red Sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. Beulah land would have been taken into place, and His delight shall be married. How great it is that God is so good to us, that He gives us His truths and the simplicity that He has written them. Had we continued on in the 15th chapter of Exodus, you would have heard a prophetess. And for the ladies, I apologize. I probably should have done that. That was Miriam, the sister of Aaron, who showed people how to enjoy God's Word and His deliverance. What a warrior she was within that. That they sang and they danced to the tune that our Father set forth on the day that He fought for the people. Now, I want to say this. Why did I deliver this? I want you to know that God is fighting for you. Do you know something? He doesn't like it if somebody messes with you. Haven't you ever noticed that? Think about it. Doesn't like it. So, we sit in a very fortunate position. It's a place of rest, of serenity, and yet we're just common people. Very common people. God chooses whom He will, and He uses them. So, with a guarantee like that, don't ever, ever let fear work into your heart from the little grasshoppers of this earth. Stop it. You're something special. And never forget, never, never forget that probably the reason you're here is because of the grasshoppers. You see, God loves them. He does. He wants you to plant a seed here and there among them and try to bring a few of them in. All right? Maybe you should remember that a prophet's food is locust. All right? That's a grasshopper. All right? And I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. Don't anybody go out here catching grasshoppers and chowing down. We all are not. But what more can I say? Didn't God say it? Isn't that beautiful? That He's going to fight the battle for us. All this dread that you have, oh, we got to get it over with. We got to get the end here and we got to get out there and fight. I wouldn't advise it. I would advise you to stay in God's Word and do what you know you're supposed to, because the major fighting is already being done by Him, and He's using you to do it, and maybe you don't even know it. Boy, what a wedge He is driving around this great globe of allowing His Word to be taught chapter by chapter as it just flows from heaven and covers every square foot of the earth's surface, practically. I don't know. Why would He do that for us? I guess it's because He loves us. And mainly because we try to keep our focus on God's Word, not ours. So, I'm trying to wind down. And I just kind of hate to go. You know? But it has been great. It has been great. Okay? And I want you to know I love you a bunch. And don't you ever let any one of you try to show me you're a scaredy cat or there's going to be a kicking going on. All right? Praise God. I love you a bunch. Please, everybody, be double careful driving home, won't you? Double careful. Be very careful. Take care of yourself. You've got some very important work to do down the road a little ways, all right? So we can't waste you. So stay alert and focus on your driving. You're tired and don't push yourself. Take care of yourself. You're precious to the living God. I love you. Let's all stand, okay? Okay. And we're going to pray together. Father, how wonderful, Father, it has been. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these souls, Father. Feed them, Lord, from thy word. Be with us until we meet again. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen. I love you. God bless. Be careful. Tell everybody you love each other. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. You are dismissed, and that completes the Passover. God bless.